This is the challenge series, part 5, soirée. The first 4 parts are en garde, touché, plié, enchanté. This is soirée. Soirée is the French word for an evening party. It originally was the equivalent to, from the Latin, soir, or evening. Soirée, which means it compares to a journey. So it's an evening journey, an evening party, or another gathering given usually at a private house where guests are invited to listen to, play, or dance to music. And this will be, what tune are you dancing to? What music are you dancing to? The light or the dark? Who do you worship, the light or the dark? The evening indicates that the darkness has risen, and so it has. A great darkness has been covering the earth. And Isaiah says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, even as darkness, yes, gross darkness, covers the earth. Let's talk about how late this hour is and the scriptures that are relevant for the night. There's a term called shank of the evening, which is the twilight time, late afternoon, right before the sun sets. Well, actually kind of while the sun is setting. It's one of the best times for photographic exposure. It is the twilight, the shank of the evening, for the dark to come in. The hour is late, and we are past the shank of the evening. Even now, darkness is coming. And the Lord is calling his stars out to shine brightly. Those who have hold out the word of life, may you be one of them. Let's look at the light and the darkness and the contrast. Let's have a clear light and dark, no grays, black and white, right and wrong, truth and lies, male and female, no longer perverting justice and confusing the issues. Let's lay out the foundation of who is light. Now, as Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. In birth, we are blind. From the time we are born into this world, we are blind, even if we can see. And this was an illustration, this man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now that's an interesting statement. So it was commonly thought that illness and all of that was because of sin, and sickness was through sin, and this is true in part. But I believe the Lord was taking this to another dimension, that we are all blind from birth spiritually. And the Lord is saying his parents didn't sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Our first parents sinned, and God is revealing his works in those of us whom he heals and regenerates and become born again, that we might see the light. Yeshua said, work the works of him who sent me while it is day. All of a sudden, he switches the subject to himself. This is the work of God, and he's going to work the works of God, because Yeshua was sent to in the day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. That's the natural light from the sun or a candle. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. All of a sudden we're going from the natural to what's in us. These things he said, and after this he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up. Now, why did they all of a sudden switch to Lazarus? Because Lazarus is dead, And he's talking about the light. What does that mean? These are the works of God, that we were born blind, that we were born dead to spiritual things. Matthew 4 said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, by the way of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness." So all mankind was in darkness, and upon who sat in the region of shadow and death, the shadow of death. All mankind was sitting in a region and a shadow of death and in darkness, until the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, speaking of Yeshua. He is the light. And upon them who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. The light has dawned on them. Who's the light? Yeshua. Jesus from that time began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's look at, so repentance is part of the kingdom. Without the preaching of repentance, you have no kingdom. You have no light to shine in your darkness. His light is to show you the darkness and the death and your blindness that you're sitting in. That you need to have the light, Yeshua, to save you and to give you eyes to see, so that you don't stumble around in dark, not knowing where you're going. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. "But you, brothers, those of you who are not in the darkness, so that this day should all overtake you as a thief, with this the darkness that is encroaching on the earth now. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." This is talking about the last days, the day that we're talking about now. We've established that Jesus is the light, and he came to show us, illuminate, shed his light on our darkness and our death and our blindness. Now, as gross darkness is covering the earth, God is telling us to rise and shine. We are not of the darkness. We are to be aware. We are to watch and pray and be sober and have on our spiritual armor, faith, love, salvation, because we are not appointed to wrath, God's wrath, which is burning hell forever. We're to owe no one, those of us in the light, anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So love and the light go together. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now you have to love yourself before you can love your neighbor. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, know what time it is, that now it is high time to wake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness, and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So the soiree, the night party, the music, the dancers at night, dance in lust of fulfillment of the flesh, the carnal nature, strife, envy, the things that oppose love, that oppose the truth. All these issues are of the dark and of the night. They party, they fulfill their evil deeds in the night, in the dark, because it cloaks their wickedness. And they are cloaked. But we of the light are to continue to be salt and light. We're to rise and shine, even when gross darkness is compassing the whole earth. This is our charge. This is our watch. This is our spiritual warfare. This is what we're contending for. Matthew 5, 4 says, you are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are given a charge here to stay in the light. Now look, there were 10 bride virgins, and they all fell asleep. You fall asleep at night waiting for the bridegroom, and the darkness came. And at the midnight hour, when they least expected it, this voice came and said, behold, the bridegroom comes, and the 10 virgins, those are 10 who know the Lord, they haven't gone into the spiritual harlotry of the harlot whore church. Those who know the Lord, but only 5 had oil for their lamp. Only 5 could light their lamps. The others' lamps had gone out. They were to light their lamps to go in. You are to light your world in the darkness. You are to still stay lit. You're not to participate in the works of darkness. You're not to give in to the carnal lust and flesh thereof. They put it under, you don't put your lamp on a basket, but on a lampstand, so the whole house can see. So let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Abba, your Father in heaven, if he is your Father, if you are of the light. And how do we know we are? Matthew 6:22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If we look in someone's eye, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? So if you have a revelation and it is brought out in darkness, how great that will be. In the beginning was the world, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What did it say in Isaiah? Behold, a great light has come to those sitting in darkness and in death. And Yeshua was the light of the world. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John the Baptist, he's referring to, the apostle John was articulating here, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, true, not the other darkness, the light shining and the darkness, okay, not that one that if the light in you is darkness, but the true light, not your own light, not your own understanding, not your own illumination of God, not your own altar, not your own God that you've constructed, but the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. This is Yeshua. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That is the people living in Israel at the time of our Lord's birth. But as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We must be born of God. We must be born again. The light must come into us. We must be regenerated. We must, if we are walking in darkness, a light in darkness, we say we're Christians and we're walking in darkness and proving this by the fruit of our works, the lust of the flesh, the eye, the carnality, the worldliness, then we are not born of God. We are not exhibiting the fruit of being children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is how we know those. We can see those that are of God have the light in them. John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. He who does not believe in Yeshua, that he's the light of the world, is God made flesh, the word of God, the truth, because he has not believed in the name of the only. There is no other name given under heaven by which we might be saved. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the only door. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The evil deeds are done at night. The party goes on at night. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light. Why? Lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So we are to examine ourselves in the light of the world, Yeshua, and his example. If we love the truth, I tell people, when I speak to them of wrong teachings, wrong doctrines, wrong prophecies, I say, okay, look, you need to pray, and you need to put yourself under the blood of Jesus, and you need to bind back the powers of darkness and the lying spirits, and you need to tell the Lord, I love you, I love Yeshua, and I love the truth, Lord. And if what this woman says is true, then show me. And my spirit will know in my knower, in that place where the light abides and wants to examine itself and walk in the truth in the light of God's Son and his example that was sent for us to be our Savior and Redeemer. Not in the conjecture, what I think in my intellect or my academic reasoning or my knowledge of good and evil. But it must be examined in the light, the spirit. Now, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That's very straightforward. If you believe in Yeshua, you believe in God who sent him. If you believe in another way to God, you don't believe in the God, the one God of all the universe, creator of all, his only begotten Son, Jesus. And his example is the measuring rod, the plumb line. He is the light to examine whatever is in darkness, to bring whatever we believe to him, before him, to ask him. And remember, if there are people or around you who are evil, when you get around them, they'll become convicted and not want to, will want to run away from the darkness. The darkness will want to run away from your light. They'll run away and they'll persecute you. This is just the way it is, because their deeds will be exposed and they stand guilty. This is the work of the light of the world, the light, Holy Spirit, Yeshua. So you need to have, you know, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Okay? They don't believe because the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, whose images of God, should shine on them, because it will expose their evil deeds. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin and the righteousness of God and the coming judgment. And they won't see it because they are destined to perish. For it is the God who commanded light to shine. Now, I'm sorry. I forgot a verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For, let me say that again, it is God who commands the light to shine out of the darkness. We were sitting in darkness. We were in blindness. We were in the shadow. He shone on us. He shone in our hearts to give us the light so that we have knowledge of the glory of God. And it's in the face of Jesus Christ that is the only way. I saw the face of Jesus. His face is very ordinary, Middle Eastern man. Nice looking features, but not extremely handsome and not ugly. He had chestnut brown hair, sort of olive skin, brown eyes. But when I looked, and there was terror all around the room and all around the darkness. But when I looked into his eyes, they weren't brownish red anymore. They became like blue, infinite, unfathomable pools of liquid love that went on for eternity. And you must keep your eyes on his eyes, and the light of his eyes will shine in you and dissipate all the darkness.